Good morning. This is Les Harms, speaking on behalf of the Adams County Historical Society. Welcome you to another Moments in Time, a segment of Adams County history. Readers of the Hastings Gazette Journal back in the 1880s may have been surprised to find a small article that announced a carload of Russians have unloaded here today. The article did not say how many people were in the railroad car, nor was their destination. It was also highly inaccurate because the people involved were not Russian, but were German people whose families had lived in Russia for approximately 100 years. You see, in 1763, Catherine II of Russia issued a manifesto that invited colonists from foreign countries to settle in Russia and offering free land along the Volga River. Catherine had been born a German, and she knew the German people to be hardworking and very industrious. And then the 7 Years' War had left Germany devastated. So industry and commerce were at a standstill, and much of the farmland was decimated. The response from the German people was very enthusiastic, and so more than 29,000 emigrated into the Volga River Agency of Russia. Approximately 104 villages were settled. The provisions of Catherine's manifesto were: they were able to enjoy full religious freedom, they were exempt from military service, they were granted total autonomy in local government, schools, and churches. There was free transportation from Germany to the Volga Valley, and each family was granted 80 acres of land. The government provided interest-free loans and total tax exemption for a period of 30 years. However, eventually, Catherine passed on, and then in 1874, the Russian government, now under Alexander II, adopted universal military draft, and in time, the Tsarist government took away all the civil, social, and political rights of the Volga Germans. At about the same time, information had been filtering into those areas, telling of opportunities in America. Therefore, the first Volga Germans came to Nebraska in 1874. Five families arrived in Hastings in August of 76. Eventually, about 350 families were to settle here. All of the Germans from Russia lived in the south part of town, with the Burlington Railroad being the boundary. The majority of these lived west of the Burlington Avenue, and there were other colonies that lived in the southeast part of town. This morning, we'll talk about those in the southeast part. The earliest homes in the southeast Hastings were built in the 1880s, with the majority being built between 1900 and 1912, which is a time of the greatest influx of Germans from Russia. In 1906, H.O. Eckhart traded 80 acres of farmland at Atlanta, Nebraska, for several lots in the 100 block on East South Street, and he accelerated the development of the southeast part of town. Eckhart and his wife, Anna, opened a general store on South Street, just 30 feet from the Union Pacific tracks. In a short time, H. Eckhart built two identical houses at 101 and 103 South Street. Then he built many more houses. All transactions and financing was done in the general store, and it soon became the financial center and a gathering place for the southeast section of Hastings. The second major institution that had an impact on the lives of many of these southeast Germans was the Emmanuel Congregational Church that was organized in March of 1908. Not all of the families in the southeast part of Hastings belonged to this church, but for almost 50 years, this little church on the corner of South Street and Pine was the spiritual and the social center for that part of town. When it was disbanded in 1954, the church was still being conducted in the German language. From the earliest days of the Germans from Russia to Hastings, these hard-working and heroic people have been misnamed and very misunderstood. People who lived north of the Burlington Tracks simply grouped them all as Germans from Russia, and they called them Russians. It's interesting to note that in addition to all of the original immigrants, that the Southwest Germans and the Southeast Germans did not usually get along too well, and the groups displayed prejudice among themselves. There was animosity between the second generation if boys and girls dated between the two areas. Speaking of one of the families, Henry Spady and his wife Christina immigrated to Hastings, and then when Christina, his first wife, died, her husband decided that he must marry again. Henry insisted that his wife had to be from his old village in Russia. So he took his four children and returned to Russia. The neighbors were sad. They cried, and they said they would never see the Spadys again. In Russia, a marriage was arranged. The second Mrs. Spady told a lady that the first time she ever saw Henry Spady was when she met him at the altar of the church. Henry and his new wife, Pauline, returned to Hastings, but left his children in Russia. Eventually, the children, John, Lydia, and Pauline, joined him here. The fourth child remained in Russia and was raised by the grandparents. Then, Henry and Paulina had four children together. They were Fred, Henry Jr., Mary, and Tina. Most of the Volga Germans that came to Hastings were peasant farmers, although a few were tradesmen and also shopkeepers. These men and women soon proved to be very hard workers. They were rugged individualists who would never dream of accepting any form of charity and would never buy anything they didn't have the money to pay for, except that they did charge groceries and supplies at Eckhart's Grocery. But the bill was always paid in full. They were determined to make a better life for themselves and their families, and they would accept work no matter how menial it was. That included the fact that many families worked the beet fields in western Nebraska and eastern Colorado. In the spring of the year, the railroad would haul boxcars of families bound for the sugar beet fields. The families would live in a little single-room hut and would not return to Hastings until fall. During the early part of the century, there was a demand for unskilled labor at Hastings, and the Germans from Russia were willing to work. The railroad hired many of them as track repairmen, cindermen, coal men, and roundhouse workers. Others worked in the coal yards, lumber yards, manufacturing, and as laborers for the city. The three brick manufacturing plants were largely staffed by German Russian men. Much of the brickwork was seasonal, and this could be found, and these men could be found during the winter working at any labor job they could find. And so in years to come, many would become expert carpenters, mechanics, bricklayers, and cabinet makers. The wives of the Volga Germans worked just as hard as the men. The couples were determined to own their own home, and they worked and saved religiously until they had enough money to buy or to build. There were almost no mortgages whatever. You waited until you had the money, and then you paid for it. The women became employed doing two things they were experts at: house cleaning and laundry. Roger Welsh, in his book called Broken Hoops and Plains People, wrote the following: with German-Russian mothers, cleanliness was next to, but almost equal to, the points of godliness. Many of the women got jobs cleaning houses or doing laundry for the North Side ladies, and the coldest of winter mornings would find these women walking across town to their jobs. The employers were delighted with the quality of the women's work. Scrubbing was done on your hands and knees, and a sparkling floor was a woman's badge of honor, very, very important to them. As the second generation of German-Russian women grew up, they moved away from the domestic work. Many were employed in the Hastings cigar factories, the Mary Lanning Hospital, restaurants, and shops. One lady sold cream and butter from her A Street kitchen. Then, during the Depression of the 30s, some of the women from Southeast Hastings would walk in groups each morning to clean poultry at Swift's, located far out on the West 2nd Street. They were paid 1 penny per dressed chicken and 5 pennies per turkey. One lady remembered her week's paycheck was 95 cents, not dollars, cents, for a week's worth of labor. Some of the second generation of German-Russian males followed their fathers and became employed by the railroads and the brickyards. There were those who became merchants, had their own businesses, and in time, history showed that the German-Russian people had been very successful. The second generation young men and women always brought their paychecks home and gave it to their father, who would give them back money they needed. And they continued until they married or turned 21. You see, the German-Russian family lived and worked together simply to make a better life for all. On our second installment coming in the next time, we will continue exploring the lives of the Germans from Russia, people that had a huge impact on the settlement of Hastings. And so, this moment in time has been a presentation of the Adams County Historical Society. We invite you again to listen. You can learn, and please consider joining our society. It's important to our society to preserve the history of our county. Now, again, this is Les Harms inviting you to tune in on the second and the fourth Friday of each month. Thank you for listening.